I do love that theme song. Thought about changing it when we brought the show back, but it just never made a whole lot of sense for me to do. How's it going, everybody? Herschel Zahn with the Film Aspire Podcast. Good to talk to you on this fine April morning. I guess it's still morning. Yeah, it is. So how's everybody doing out there? I'm going to jump right in here. I'm calling this podcast They're Always Watching because I've had some things come up in my journey here that have proven to me beyond the shadow of a doubt that, you know, people are absolutely always watching what you're doing. So in March and February, I did a cabaret show with a local theater company called Wayward Actors, and it's the second time I've done this cabaret. I did it 2 years ago and was unable to be a part of the cast of the show last year, but I was able to go in and help them record a archive copy of the show for posterity. So I was very excited to be back in the show, and it's a really cool concept called Unhindered and Ungendered, and we basically take anything and everything from the world of Broadway theater, and you turn the casting on its head. So, for instance, we did Jesus Christ Superstar. I played Mary Magdalene. We had a female singing Mr. Cellophane from Chicago. We had, you know, a female sing The Dentist from Little Shop of Horrors. We had men sing The Long Grift from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So it's just a fun show where you get to sing a lot of really cool songs that in a full production you probably wouldn't as one gender or another. So really a lot of fun, and had a ball with this show, and I had to overcome some things. It was the first musical that I've done, or the first singing experience that I've had since being diagnosed with asthma, and I had to completely kind of rechart how I perform because, you know, I'm used to being able to hold notes forever and ever and ever, sometimes much to the chagrin of the people that I'm performing with. So I had to make some adjustments, and I think it has made me a better performer. And I remember reading an article from Michael J. Fox when he first came back to full-time acting after being diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he said he had to kind of check his own body and make a few adjustments based on his condition. And he said it made him a better actor because it minimized his choices, or he became a minimalist actor. And he felt that that made him a stronger performer. And I think in a lot of ways, when you have something like a disease, a breathing condition, something like that, and you have to be cognizant of it at all times, you really do become a better performer. So I felt that I was in a much better vocal place than I have been in past shows because I was having to think about and conserve everything I was doing. So was very, very proud of the show. So I'm finishing up, and we did our last performance, and, you know, my family came, and it was an all whole big thing, and we had a lot of fun, and we were eating in the restaurant after the performance, and I went to the restroom, and they had one of the posters for our show on the wall. And I notice on this poster, somebody has scratched in capital letters under my picture, because there were pictures of all of us on this poster. They'd scratched the word liar under my picture. And that really took me aback. The number of individuals that I've made full-on enemies with in this industry, in my mind, for the amount of time that I've been doing this and for the amount of people I've come in contact with, I think is rather small. It's a group of under 10 people that I would say that relationships fell apart to the point that I just don't speak to anymore, and that would have any kind of impetus to say something like that about me. So I've got a finite list of people that would have done this, and it's even made smaller by the people that I know frequent that particular restaurant in that location. So that really took me aback. Because, you know, again, very proud of the show, so now I have this negative connotation anytime I see that poster and all this stuff, and it got me thinking in terms of, and I've actually already had this conversation at the time of this recording with Antonio, but Antonio and I had a lot of conversations during the production of One Must Fall about negative people and how, as entrepreneurs, as filmmakers, as artists, quite often one of the most important things is to take haters or people who have negative things to say about you and prove them wrong or get them back simply by succeeding. And I personally in my life have for many, many years loved nothing more than to be told by somebody that something can't be done, that it's impossible, that it won't work, or that my idea isn't up to scratch. And then I turn around, make it happen because I have a strong conviction that it will, not just to spite another person. I never want to be an individual who does something just to spite somebody else, but I want to be that individual that proves that my idea, that my concept was strong enough to withstand the negativity of outside forces and influences. So for me, that's how I get through things like that. Things like having a, you know, kind of deflammatory statement placed at my name. I want to succeed where everybody else tells me I'm going to fail. And I have. I mean, I've been told by people that I wasn't talented enough, that I didn't have the business acumen to succeed in this industry. I've been told that I'm not pretty enough, that I'm too fat, that I'm this, that I'm that. And yet, I still do it 20 years later. 20 years on, I'm still acting. I'm still performing in musical theater. I'm still making films. And I guess every now and again, I'm saying you really have to have that negative person come out of the woodwork, kind of give you a little bit of a check, and then you push past it, and you prove to them how wrong they actually are. So that leads me to my next section in this little show. I was very blessed to have been cast in a role that I've been wanting to play since the play came out, and that is the title role of David Frost in the play Frost Nixon. I'm going to be playing that starting May 17th through June 2nd at the Alley Theater here in Louisville, and I'll get some information on that as we go. And I'm very, very excited, and as soon as I was able to announce it, I had all these wonderful accolades from all of these people that I know on Facebook and this, that, and the other. And then in the mail the other day, I get a card. And it was very odd because it's one of my business contacts that outside of he calls me to do drone work for his real estate business, I don't really have a interpersonal relationship with this individual outside of, hey, I've got a property, I need you to come film. And I, you know, I really enjoy the guy. I like the guy. I have a lot of respect for him. His name is Tom Jordan. I'm not going to hide that fact, because what Tom did for me really helped me finally break free of this other incident from the show. I get this card in the mail congratulating me on the role in Frost Nixon, and it was just such a immensely kind gesture from somebody who had nothing to really gain by doing it, and that really we don't have that kind of relationship. So it just so solidified this idea that no matter what you're doing, somebody's watching, and there's people that are going to be supporting you, and that they are going to be your cheerleaders and move you forward in that way. And then there's people who are going to be talking shade about you and going to be telling you that you can't do it. And I mean, some of these people are going to be your friends. That's what's, you know, that's another conversation Antonio and I have had. You know, he had friends that told him his script wasn't good enough. He had friends that said it wasn't funny, that it wasn't this, it wasn't that, and he wasn't going to succeed. And, you know, these are people that we consider our friends, that we go out and that we have in your home and you have drinks with and all these different things, yet they still are a negative force in your life. So you have to take all of those people, all that negativity, and allow that to not hold you back, but to push you forward, to force those people to recognize that they were wrong. They'll never tell you. And, you know, getting some kind of a mea culpa from negative people in your life is a fool's errand. It's probably never going to happen. And wanting them to have some sort of a negative experience in their life isn't a great idea either, because that's, as one of my motivational mentors, Sam Crowley, used to say, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Spite, vengeance, vitriol against another person, it doesn't help, you know. Get angry and then get over it. That's kind of where I'm trying to live my life. I'm never going to be a person that's probably not going to get angry at other people, because I do. I have very strong emotions that sometimes get worn on my sleeve, and I lash out. I get really, really angry. And then what I have learned to do in my maturity is to let that go and let that subside and let that die. But I want to use all of that negative energy that comes from that certain sect of people that wants me to fail. And again, some of those people are probably my friends, that they don't want to see somebody else succeed over them. I want that malice to spurn me on to bigger, better, brighter things. So, and I'm also going to be the one that wants to talk about it, because talking about something like this is difficult. I told Antonio when I was getting ready to record this podcast that it was going to be pretty difficult for me to do, because it was. I mean, when I saw that word liar under my photo, it stopped me short. And I was on a production high, man. I had done two shows back to back with a thrown out back. I'd been helping my mother-in-law with some stuff in her basement, and I'd thrown my back out. So I was in immense pain in addition to everything else. And I was having to do this show, and it wasn't an incredibly physical show, but I still had to bend and move in ways that were not making my back happy. And I got through them without missing a beat. And that really had me on just this incredible high from that production. And when I saw that word, it sent me into a downward spiral just for a minute, but it was enough to really take me aback and make me kind of question a few things. So to be able to move on from that is the key. You know, like Sylvester Stallone said in that movie, it's not about how hard you get hit or how many times you go down. It's about how many times you get back up. And I'm determined, no matter how many times I get smacked to the mat, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to come back swinging harder than ever before. So that's about it for this episode. I hope that you are able to derive something positive from this. I think it's very important that we always try to find the positives even in negative situations. If you have a show topic suggestion or want to drop me a line, send me a message to filmaspire@live.com. Until next time, this is Herschel Zahn with the Film Aspire podcast. Get out there and tell your story.